This is a special episode of the I Read Comic Books podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rappin, editor-in-chief for Destroy the Cyborg. We are at Chicago Comic Book and Entertainment Expo, also known as C2E2, here in 2015. If you have never been to a convention, I'm real sorry. This episode is going to be all about comic book conventions, and specifically C2E2 and our experiences this year. This year, I'm actually joined by Xander Riggs, who is our editor and producer and staff writer, as well as like comic book editor. Like, Xander does almost everything at Destroy the Cyborg, and I'm also joined here by Anna Rayburn, who does our B-movie breakdown, and she's the only person that's been doing that for like 2 years now.
Ever, yeah.
Like, she just started doing it, and every 2 weeks we've got a new one. It's
solid.
It's the most consistent thing we've ever had on the site. So if she left, the site would just fall apart. So
pretty much.
Thank you guys for joining me today. We're going to talk about the convention. So yeah. To you guys, so I can just stop talking. What is C2E2 for the both of you, Xander?
Oh, for me. Yeah, when I was telling the story about this to some people, and so when I bought my ticket, it asks you like why you come to the con. I don't know if you guys saw this when you were buying your tickets online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It asks you what, you know, your top three reasons for coming to the con, and it asks you to order them. And I actually had to sit and think about it for a bit. I was like, why?
It was just a simple survey, man. They're just like trying to figure out how many people are coming for comics or for entertainment or panels.
But
or
like,
what?
I took it like it hit me real deep, and I was like, what is life? What is a comic con? What am I doing at C2E2?
Yeah.
And so it was like this moment where I actually, like, for some reason it like made me think real hard. And I was like, what do I come to this convention for?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it's panels.
Mm-hmm.
Were like the number one thing that I come for. And then it's comic book stuff, video game stuff, merchandise, all that.
Yeah,
the rest of it that sort of, you know, comes with it. But my focus was on panels always, because it's like getting to hear from comic creators and publishers and all these different people that you don't necessarily get to hear from if you're not following them, you know,
very closely online. Like scripted and put together like interviews on CBR and Newsarama.
Yeah.
It's like, let's talk about your new comic book and
exactly.
Not reveal anything or do anything of any fucking nature or purpose.
Right. So, I mean,
real excited about
a little harsh. You know? But you know, thinking about that stuff, it just made me think about the types of panels that they have here. Mm-hmm. And how it's changed since the first year I came. And I feel like, I you know, looking at it now, there's so, like such a high percentage of it are just like fan panels and cosplay meetups,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, I have no interest in. I know other people do, and they are a big thing at conventions, but like I came to this convention to hear comic creators talk, and
right.
You know, people from TV and all these people that come and talk about their creative process, and I mean, just that in and of itself is like hugely fascinating to me. And so just to see, like, I don't know, the variety of panels slowly changing towards things that I'm not necessarily as interested in was kind of, I don't know, disheartening.
Yeah.
Okay. So Xander hates conventions.
No.
What do you come to C2E2 for? Why are you here? What is this whole thing for you?
Honestly, my top thing probably is just to hang out with the people that I don't get to see all mm-hmm. year. This is like...
It's like a gathering point.
It is.
For
it is. It's like a great gathering point because it's like it's you guys, and then like it's some of Chris's other friends that we've gotten to know over the years, and
yeah.
It's a great time to just hang out with everyone, but then also at the same time get to see things and experience things that we all love to nerd out about together.
Right. Right.
So that's probably my favorite thing.
Simpler answer.
Sorry, like I got really into it.
No, that's okay. Like, I mean, C2E2 it's a big thing. I mean, I've been coming here for 5 years, and it's like, at this point, it's like the staple in my year as far as, you know, all things are considered. I mean, like, I used to go to Wizard World Chicago back when there were actual comic book publishers that went. I mean, comic book publishers do go, but like they... It's not Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, I don't think anymore. I think it's just kind of smaller press. And not to say that's not my thing, but Wizard World turned more into, like, like an entertainment expo and not anything about comic books. And what's really great about C2E2 is they push comic books really, really hard, and they push entertainment stuff, hence the name, you know? And so, you know, I've been coming here, and like you, to go off of your point, Xander, like, yeah, the panels have changed, but I still feel like at its core, like, C2E2 is still very much about comic books, very much about, like, entertainment stuff. Yeah. And the reason why we see these panels about, you know, cosplay meetups or, like, fan service meetups and stuff like that, or not fan service meetups, but, like, so it's like fans of a TV series, you know, like, because it's like, fan panels, because they're not even run by anyone from a show in particular, like Doctor Who or Supernatural or something like that. It's just like, people are like, we want this, and they are like calling to the creators or the people that run C2E2 and saying, we want a place for this because we have to do it independently, but if you came, it would be much easier for us to, rather than having to gather in the lobby or something, we instead actually have a room and we do more, and we push Reed Pop, which is the people that put on C2E2, you know, we push them to, like, you know, have, like, their name is attached to our fan panel, and so when we go and we blog about it, we talk about it on forums, we can say, oh, C2E2 officially helped us, you bring more fans. It's a thing.
And then maybe the creators will actually show up, because they know that there's all their fans are there.
I mean, because you look at, like, San Diego Comic-Con, you look at New York Comic-Con, tons of celebrities, tons of people like that, lots of bigger names in comics, too. And Chicago is getting there. Like, this year, I think, has probably been the biggest convention in terms of, like, creators that are, like, I guess, big named or popular. And I think that's simply because, like, if you look at the rapid rate at which Chicago Comic-Con has grown, or Chicago, or C2E2 has grown, or whatever name you want to call it, like, it's definitely becoming, like, the Midwest, like, the big show in the Midwest. There's the East Coast, New York, there's San Diego Comic-Con in California, and then there's Chicago Comic-Con, and, like, that's going to be it. I think those are going to be the big three.
And Dragon Con.
Those ones don't count. Those ones are stupid. No.
We're not talking about
That's not true. No. But no, I think, I mean, obviously C2E2 is growing exponentially. Like, it's, I think they counted like 100,000 people last year or something.
Oh, wow.
I think this year maybe is probably going to
be more.
I feel like yesterday at the con was pretty busy. Today was very even pretty busy. I mean, of course, Kids Day is always a big day, but at the same time, like, this is a pretty good con.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, for sure.
All things considered, you know.
And just,
but,
and like, my small, like, I don't know, grievances about these panels.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You were talking, Anna, about just your experience with other cons in terms of, like, how panels change over time.
Well, it seems to be like the one of the other conventions I go to is ShootoCon in Lansing, which they had like a huge year this year, and they've been growing much like C2E2. Mm-hmm. And one of the things my friends and I were talking about that is the bigger they've gotten, the less focused the panels are on, like, more academic panels. Like, you know, you went to the, like, sci-fi one, there was the horror one today talking about writing. Instead, there seems to be a lot more Q&As or, like, spotlights. Like, there was the Jason Momoa spotlight yesterday that I went to.
There's the Matt Kent spotlight that they did, too. Oh, okay.
And then today, well, they had the Jason Momoa spotlight yesterday, but then they're having a Game of Thrones spotlight today.
Yeah. Just talking about the show in general?
Well, it's Jason Momoa and the other guy that they had from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically
the guy
just
Loras, I think.
Yeah, it's just another Q&A session, basically. And so, I mean, I understand why they're doing that, because it's like, oh, what's going to get more pull? Jason Momoa one-on-one, or how to write good stuff for you guys? You know?
Yeah.
But it does kind of suck in terms of, like, you kind of lose out on those, like, smaller panels where you might actually, like, learn some really cool stuff and, like, be more impacted in that way.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I've always kind of, I don't know, I've always been torn on in terms of conventions, is, like, there's, like, a lot of, like, bigger names or, like, popular names or something like that, and then there's also, like, these panels that you can only get at bigger conventions, that you can only get at conventions in general, that are, like, how to break into comics, how to write a good comic book, how to do, like, that are, like, almost educational, and it becomes more of a conference than it does a convention, where, like, you get to go see, you know, R.J. Mitt from Breaking Bad, which was last year, but then at the same time, there's another panel, like, down the hall that was, like, how to break into comics, or how to break into comics as an editor, which is something that's incredibly specific, because there's one way to, like, get in as an artist or, you know, writer, and they say the same thing every time, but it still needs to be said. But in terms of, like, editing, like, that's a whole other thing, and that's, I think, is a pretty high-level, like, panel in terms of like the like level of dedication to the medium.
Oh yeah.
But like at the same time, like more, I think the RJ Mitt obviously had a bigger pull, and I think, you know, the creators or the people that run the show are probably trying to find like a natural balance between these two things, where it's like fandoms and like people that are really really into a specific series or a product or something getting together, but also trying to be like slightly educational. Yeah. And I think both of those are important, because you get the draw from the people, but then you also get like this, I don't know, like I keep saying educational, because it's not really educational so much as it's like a lecture.
Informative.
Informative. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I prefer the more informative or more educational panels, just because I think that that's, like, I love this medium well enough to do, I could say I can do enough research to say how to do or how to read a comic book, where to find comic books, all that kind of stuff. But it's like how to actually break in, hearing like personal stories and stuff like that is always interesting. And you know, going to see like, you know, Jason Momoa or RJ Mitt or whatever is like is cool, but like to me that's like kind of a fluffy thing that doesn't have, I feel like an asshole, like saying it doesn't have any substance, but like
it has more of a wow factor. Like you take something else away rather than like taking something away in your mind that you can use later. It's like I got to see this guy and it was really cool because he's a really cool person.
Right.
And I don't know.
I guess that's a better way to say it. Yeah. Not about substance or like
I understand what you meant, because I feel the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe just like I don't miss it because I've only been here for 3 years. I've only been coming here for 3 years. But what really, I guess, created this contrast for me in terms of panels this year versus panels in previous years was the Image Sci-Fi panel that we went to yesterday, which was
on Saturday,
which was like, it had, I guess, Rick Remender from Low and Greg Tuccini from Low, and then I can't remember their names.
Hardman and his wife, whose name escapes me.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're from Invisible Republic.
Invisible Republic, yeah. And just to see, it maybe because it was a smaller panel, it felt more, I guess, like intimate in a way. So you got to hear a little bit more of like their like thoughts behind their comics.
Yeah.
Versus just like the pitch of the comic and getting, you know, the comic at face value.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting insight on a series at a panel is like one of the big reasons that I really enjoyed panels, because you got to that you're not necessarily going to get from like their booth in Artist Alley or something.
Well, because when they're at the Artist Alley booth, they're guarded. They're like, I'm here to talk to them and sign their comic books really quickly, and
that's their
laugh at their
mode.
Jokes and like move on, and then go, God, I just need a drink. Like,
can I go to the bar yet?
Yeah,
but in a way, you're like, you're not going to get the same insight that you're going to get in like a semi-darkened room with these people on the stage, and they're like revealing these inner thoughts and processes that they have, that they had for, you know, the inception of their series and how they are planning to move forward.
Yeah.
Little nuggets of information.
Yeah.
Well, I think that speaks to, I mean, it's not just comic books where you get that too. I mean, even, you know, when you go to the celebrity panels or whatever, like I still think a lot of the times you'll sit and you'll hear them say, you know, here's how I got into my character, or like, this character is important to me, or took this role because of this. And like, that's always interesting to hear, because I feel like, you know, to like go back on my statements earlier about it, but
you fucked up.
I mean, I'm not trying to like insult those panels, because I don't think that they're necessarily bad. I just they're just not the thing that I want to go to.
Right. Well, they're geared towards a different medium, especially like with the actors.
Yeah.
You go there because you're interested in like
it's a different
acting.
Fan base.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me hear one story from this year, from you guys, that made C2E2 the most unique.
And I feel like it's going to be the same story.
I already know this. I already know one of the stories, probably.
It's just going to be that story.
That's all it is.
Well,
no, I mean, we have a couple of
I mean, like, okay, what was good stuff. What was good about this C2E2? It's not necessarily this weird story about a guy adjusting his pants, but maybe something else. I mean, like, what was C2E2 2015? What was your thing? Compared to all other years or all other conventions you've been to, what made this year's stand out in a good way? Not in an awkward way. Like, about the convention, you know, not necessarily the people.
Well, kind of going off what I was saying about my favorite part being get to hang out with all my friends, I feel like a lot of the really good stuff happens after the convention. Kind of when you're, like, because we always stay right at the hotel, so we get to hang out at the bar, and that's where, like, a lot of the creators go, a lot of the movie stars and all that stuff. So that's a really cool experience just to see them hanging out.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
like
yeah.
sometimes, like, who was that guy who came and talked to us on Friday night?
Oh,
who's
from
comic book?
Comic book man yeah. Ming. I can't think of his last name.
So Ming from Comic Book Men just came up to our table and like had a conversation with us for like
we were talking about G.I. Joes.
Yeah, talking about G.I. Joes, like, which is super cool.
Yeah.
And you get to see them in a whole different light. Or like today on Sunday, my partner and I were just in the elevator and Brad Neely walked in and he's like, "Hey guys, what's up? Want my all access pass? I don't need it. I'm leaving." Fuck yes we do, Brad Neely. Thank you. Like, it's just, it's those little moments of, like, getting to kind of catch them being human, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
In a more human moment.
When you see them as a person for a second rather than this idol of the name and a face, right? Like, you got on the elevator on Friday afternoon with Mark Wade.
Yeah.
And we were just like, "Hey, look, that's Mark Wade." And he was just like, "I'm here with my wife, just trying to go to my room."
And I think this year, maybe because I didn't go, like, last year, oh my gosh, I was going to, like, panels back to back the whole time. And by the time I was done with panels, I was just burnt out. I don't know, I couldn't focus on anything else. But like this year, maybe because I wasn't super focused on panels or anything, I kind of like reveled in those moments of like the aftercon where you're getting to, you know, experience the city and hang out with friends and see, you know, comic creators out of their, you know, comic creator element.
Yeah, yeah,
where,
yeah.
Where, you know, they're super official, like behind the table and or on the podium kind of thing. Yeah, and sort of the, I don't know, that, I guess, more relaxed, laid-back part of, like, the business side of the Comic-Con, almost, like, I really enjoy that, maybe more than in previous years. Maybe because there was sort of the magic of the convention the first year that I was here.
Oh, yeah.
And the second year, I was like, I know what I came to see, and I've got all these panels lined up, and then I've got to go get this merch, and then, like, gotta find these issues of something. So year two is more business, and now I feel like, I don't know, like I'm the old man at the con, and and I'm enjoying other things at the con, everything sort of surrounding the con. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, this is the first year, I mean, for me, like, this is the first year that I like didn't bring any comics to get signed.
Yeah.
All I brought was like a book to have get sketches done. I didn't even do that. Like, I went to like two panels. Like, I didn't like every night I left, I didn't feel exhausted. I didn't feel dead. Like, I actually felt like I could go do things and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, it was like a completely different experience. So like I was approaching this con like in a much different way. Like, I don't even know what news came out of this fucking weekend. Like, we're not doing our job as a podcast. We're like, we're supposed to talk about what the fuck happened. And like, I didn't follow any of the Marvel shit. I saw the Joker picture got posted, you know, about like Jared Leto and whatever the hell is going on with that. And so I don't know. Like, this is, it's so bizarre because like this year just kind of felt like I was at the thing, but just kind of like to experience
like
the
in
con.
A more casual way.
Yeah, in a much more casual way, which feels very, very foreign to me. Because like every year before that, I felt like in the con, gotta get to my panels, fuck everything else, like fuck food, fucking signings, like I gotta go from signing to panel, I gotta make it 600,000 feet, you know, in less than 10 minutes, let's go, you know. And
con mode.
Yeah, get into con mode and I walk. I mean, this is why I never hang out with anyone at cons. This is the first year I've actually hung out with people. And, you know, it's been a completely different experience. And I don't think that's necessarily bad, but I think it's something that probably, it's different. And it's something that I feel like is now probably going to be my normal con because like, I just sold a bunch of my comic books. You know, I'm moving to New York now. And so now it's like, I don't have to bring all these comics to get signed because all the ones that I kept are the ones that are already signed.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not a big deal.
But I feel like you're going to have, like, that magic and, like, go back into con mode for, like, you know, New York Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're going to go there and it's like, I got to see everything.
Yeah.
And business mode again.
Well, maybe it's because it's C2E2 and I kind of know what to expect at C2E2, whereas New York Comic Con is going to be a whole different monster that I'm going to have to approach. Maybe get a handful of things signed and just be like, oh my god, somebody's here that I'm really excited about.
Commissions.
I'm awful about sketches. Like, this year, I've gone up to like four people like, hey, can we sign we sketch this thing? And they're just like, no, I don't have time. Why are you being weird about this? Like, you know, and like, and that's how I am every year. So like, even then, it's a whole other animal. But like, Yeah, no, I don't know. This is like casual. It's the first year of the same con that I've been going to for 5 years, but like different than the previous four because I haven't been fanboying out the entire time.
Right. And but, and I feel like partially it's because at least us on the podcast generally we've sort of stopped following the big two in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So a lot of the big news from Marvel and DC that's coming out, we're just kind of either not paying attention to or like just ignoring entirely or not. Yeah. Like,
well, like I didn't go to the Secret Wars
Secret
panel.
Wars
I didn't go
and
to
Battle
the DC
World.
Panel.
And
like, no one wants to.
Like anyone who's probably listened to this podcast knows that I'm not excited about any of that stuff. But
as much as you love X-Men.
As much as I love X-Men and I read a lot of Marvel books, I just don't want to read that stuff. So, like, maybe this year was just an off year for me. You know, who knows? But I do... I mean, it's definitely been a good con experience. Like, I feel like I'm going to leave this convention and I'm going to not be dead for the next week. Like, I'm actually be alive and, like, be able to work and do all sorts of stuff for the next week. Whereas in previous years, you know, I'd get back from the con and, like, Monday is, like, the worst. I'm probably going to take Monday off or, like, call in sick or something like that.
Just I've been
like,
drinking all like, weekend.
Well, like, normally I don't drink at conventions because I know that the next day I'm going to get up bright and early and run for 8 hours straight.
Yeah.
Whereas this year it was way more laid back. So I was able to have a couple drinks here and there. So, I, like, you know, this is no different than any other weekend where I'm getting drunk a lot. You know, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
No. But, no, it's just, it's good. I mean, I think that, like, just to move on from that, I think that this year for C2E2 compared to previous years, I mean, we've all been here a few years. Mm. I think this is probably the best organized C2E2 that I've been to.
Oh, yeah.
I think the layout is, like, they doubled their size easily this year. I mean, just for autographs alone, like, all that stuff. Like, they moved all the WWE people and, like, the celebrity people into their own section. They moved all the autographs to another portion of the convention center, which was, like, super smart to get the lines away from the mass public. And then I felt like there's just most shops had a lot more space this year. Like, all the rows were much wider. Even specifically Artist Alley, all of the rows were much wider, which is really, really cool.
So many artists.
And they did a really good job of grouping. They did a really good job of grouping the very, like, and I don't think that there's, like, necessarily a ranking system, but, like, the people they know are going to draw a lot of people. Like, they put Rick Remender Rick Remender right next to Greg Tocchini, right at the end of a line.
Yeah.
Right? They put, you know, Jonathan Hickman and Nick Pitaro right next to each other at the end of a thing. So they knew that those lines were going to grow big. Like, Tim Seeley and Mike Norton right next to each other for Revival. Like,
yeah.
And they all six of those guys, I think, were in the same row, but they were, like, in different sections to the point where you could, like, the lines weren't going to overwhelm the rest of the creators that were sitting there. Which kind of gets into a whole thing about how do you rank popularity or whatever. But nonetheless, I think this whole convention was laid out better. Like, the food areas were laid out better. Like, all the resting areas. I mean, I don't know. I think 2015 C2E2, way better put together than any of the previous years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're definitely improving every year. And just to see not only, like layout of the con, but then also how panels are, like, organized and, like, what is being talked about at what times. And it's like it feels much more like I'm not having to fight to get someplace.
Well, outside of the panels.
Outside of the
sometimes
well,
where the
sometimes.
Lines are like 6,000 miles long, but
like I don't feel like I didn't feel in a lot of ways that I had to, like, if I was in Artist Alley, I didn't have to fight to get across the con to, you know, go up to see a panel.
Yeah.
As bad as it was last year.
Yeah.
Last year it was packed.
Yeah, last year I think they greatly underestimated the number of people that were going to come on Saturday in specific. And
Saturday,
which is why this year
they
definitely took that into account this year, which is pretty cool. But
that's great. It's also really nice because I feel like I was able to see things that I've never seen at C2E2 before in terms of, like, the showroom and the block and everything, how it was organized with the more space.
Oh, yeah.
Usually I run through there, and if something happens to catch my eye, I'll stop and buy it. Otherwise, I'm like, there's too many people. There's too many cooks in this kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was actually able to, like, take my time and, like, go through, and especially in the block, because that's a lot of, like, self-artist, like, self-made, like, toys and stuff like that, which is really super cool. So I got to check that stuff out. I went and got a tattoo.
Yeah.
That was cool. Like, checking out, being able to go over to the tattoo area, which... In previous years, I've gone over there, and it's usually stuffed by, like, where all the autographs were.
Yeah.
So it was just very hard to get over there. Mm-hmm. So again, it's one of those things where I would like scan through and then get the hell out of there because I can't stand it. But this year it was like way in the back behind where the wrestlers were. So they had lots of room. I didn't feel like if I got a tattoo, it was going to be bumped at any point in time, like, I guess was my worry before.
Yeah.
So it was super nice. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, as this convention goes on, it's, I mean, they're probably going to get better and better. But now I think we're getting to the point where this level, this year, I think, was probably the perfect size for the convention. I think if they tried to expand it next year, it would feel empty. A lot of the, I mean, because at times, like, especially on Friday, even though I got here kind of late, it felt like on Friday, the con was kind of empty by like 5:30, 6 o'clock. And obviously, a lot of people are going home because the con closes at 7, but like, even, I mean, yesterday though, like 6-7 o'clock rolls around right before the show floor closes and the place was still packed.
It was still really
busy, so it was pretty nice, but it didn't feel so packed that you couldn't get anywhere either, you know? So I think we've maybe found this nice, middle ground.
Even if they expanded and had a little bit more room, I don't think that would be bad, especially with the number of people probably going to be increasing between, you know, this year and next year anyway. Because,
yeah.
I mean, last year was definitely a problem where you would be walking down an aisle and then suddenly, like, and you're, because you're trying to get to a panel or, you know, something's happening somewhere and you just stop.
Stop
and everyone
for like
is
five
stopped.
Minutes,
And you're like, I can't, can I go back?
Just start screaming.
Like there's 10 people stopped behind me and I can't turn around. And you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm scared. And and this year was like, I think, a much better.
Yeah,
just like in terms of space.
Yeah, for sure.
Had a lot more.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, this is probably going to be kind of a shorter podcast, but I think the last thing I want to talk about was like booths in specific. Like, you know, this year's the first year, maybe the first year at C2E2, and then this year, the only years that Image has been at C2E2, which has been pretty cool.
Okay.
And this is the first year, though, however, that Dark Horse hasn't been here. So tying it back closer to comic books, just because. I mean, I didn't even walk by the Marvel panel, Marvel booth. I don't know if DC even had a booth. Like,
I didn't see one.
I didn't see one. So, but that's not like. But it still felt like DC had a pretty big presence here in terms of like panels and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this year definitely felt dominated by Marvel and Image, nonetheless. Like, which is really, really bizarre to me because I understand DC is in the middle of their big move right now with Convergence is going on, so like that's all happening. So maybe that had something to do with it. C2E2 is kind of early in the year, so maybe like Dark Horse losing, you know, like losing the Star Wars license might have been a factor into this whole thing.
Yeah.
But like nonetheless, I mean, other than these comic book things, I mean, like what all? How did you guys feel about the booths this year? Like in terms of creators and not just Artist Alley and everything, but like the exhibitors and all that stuff.
Well, like Xander and I just went to the Image.
We just went to the Image booth,
and that was super awesome because I found like stuff that I've been looking for forever, and I was super happy that they had like a huge booth because Image is honestly probably one of my biggest pulls. Like,
all of
my stuff, it's probably gonna be Image. So that was awesome. And then we talked about how their big thing was The Walking Dead because one whole side,
The whole side of one of their
booths is just Walking Dead stuff.
Dead.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it was, which is, I mean, it's a pretty popular thing. I mean, as soon if you saw The Walking Dead and you watched the TV show and you're one of those rabid fans out there who love The Walking Dead, like that's a big draw for you.
For sure,
it's insane.
And they had so many like just like action figures and T-shirts
and
comic books. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not something. It's not a series that I ever read. I think I experienced it mostly through the TV show, and then I stopped watching. But yeah, I think like, you know, talking about Dark Horse not being there, and like DC still having a presence but not being as big as it was like last year, and Marvel having its huge like stage.
They had that this
last
year.
I guess it just maybe it was just placed in such a way that I didn't even go by it.
Yeah,
but it felt. Maybe.
They might have been told to like quiet it down, given last year.
Because they were huge
last year.
It was a problem, I think, because they would create crowds outside and it would like jam up
other
aisles
booths.
And stuff.
Yeah.
But and so maybe it was because of that, or maybe it's just the growth of other comic series. But I feel like independent comics had a much bigger presence this year than in previous
years. Yeah.
Whether that was just, you know, Image's, you know, influence or not. But I feel like also artists, like in Artist Alley, they were pushing a lot more, creator-owned books.
Well, Comixology had the whole thing where they were like, they were the sponsor of Artist Alley, and they had like the four booths that were Comixology Submit. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I think that helped a lot. I think there was probably a lot of like, Artist Alley sucks every year. Why can't you fix it, guys? Like, maybe Comixology just kind of swept in and was just like, yeah, we're going to do that. You know, but still, yeah, no, I think, yeah, there was, I mean, not just to go off of that point, I think there were way more independent comic book publishers like that were just on the show floor in general. Yeah. Like, there was a Devil's something that I walked by a million times that had, you know, two booth slots, and they had a ton of comics that they were selling. I saw, you know, and then like, again, a lot of creators had either their own booth or an Artist Alley selling a lot of stuff. And there was like a handful of other indie, like small time publishers that were out there.
And like Kickstarter titles.
Yeah, and all that stuff. And I think that might just be like a reflection of like how comics have been changing over the last year or two, where people are starting to actually get a little bit of notoriety. So they come to conventions like this because they have the means to do so, you know, which is a direct, you know, reflection on like how people are actually dealing with like independent comics online, where they're willing to invest in something that's new and weird, you know, in maybe a 1,000 print run, and that's it, you know. Yeah.
And if they know that their comics are selling well and there's a huge fan base for their series, we got to come to this con.
Exactly.
Their reader's going to be there.
Exactly. So I guess, just to wrap this all up, I mean, do you guys, final thoughts on C2E2 this year?
Well, I think Xander should really quick just end on probably the highlight
of
this weekend.
That can be the after.
That'll be another thing.
Like, I don't think I've, regardless of my... whatever little discrepancies I have with the convention as a whole, I every time that I come here, I always come away happy. Like, I, you know, whatever little complaints that I have are just like washed over by all of the really cool opportunities that I get to meet creators and meet cosplayers and, you know, buy hardcover versions of the titles that I really like, and just sort of experience the con and as a whole. It's like, I don't know, it just it's always a good experience for me.
Yeah.
And so like I never take away anything, I think, bad, you know, nothing that's like, no bad seed is planted in my heart about C2E2.
Never coming back.
What about you, Anna?
Honestly, it was probably, I guess I'm a beginner, and getting my tattoo, because it's something that I've been wanting to do for the past 3 years that I've been coming here.
I see it. It's right next to me. It's adorable.
Can you describe it?
Well, it's a chubby Sailor Moon in her sailor suit holding a piece of pizza, winking and pointing out, and it's on my arm.
It's real,
and
it's adorable. So it's real cute.
I found like the perfect artist for it, and she was super amazing, and she happened to be like someone who was like recognized by Lucasfilm as being like a legit Star Wars tattoo artist, and like getting to talk to her and all those people, I think, always is my favorite thing, stopping to talk to whatever artist or creator it may be, especially like the smaller ones, and just talking to them about where they're coming from with their art and their creations, and like actually having like a heart to heart with them and connecting with them on that level where it's like, the thing you do is cool and I like it. And then they're like, I like that you like it. And it's like, yeah.
And you both kind of just like smile at each other and go, hey.
For about 5 minutes. Yeah. And then you just walk away.
Yeah. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it's, I wish I could have gone to more panels, but just like sitting in on that sci-fi panel, there was an Image sci-fi panel that was just killer, and it was talking about like how Rick Remender, Greg Tocchini, and the creators of Invisible Republic like approach their comics, and how they got some weird Q&A questions, but at the end of the day, it was like they definitely went into their processes, and like you don't get that a lot. I don't know. I feel like you when you go to a panel like that, it's way more raw. It feels very like natural and
feels
like
more
real
personal.
And more personal. Yeah. And I mean, like, they're sitting up on this stage and there's like 200 people in this audience or whatever, but like even then, that's like sitting in on a small lecture and you're listening to this thing that you could only get from this specific panel.
Yeah.
And like just hearing how all those guys approach it. Even Greg Tocchini doesn't speak English very well. Like, he's from Brazil. He speaks Portuguese, but like,
and he was constantly apologizing. But like, just to hear what he was saying about his process.
Yeah, it was,
and about
very,
how he
very
and Rick Remender were talking, like collaborating, was like,
yeah,
so cool.
It was beautiful. So I mean, like, I think that was probably the highlight. I mean, like, I have words about Rick Remender's book sometimes, but at the same time, like, I definitely respect the guy as a writer, like, or as a creator, just because what he does is pretty fantastic, if not for me, but for a bunch of other people. That was my highlight.
And there it was.
So I guess I'm going to wrap this up here. Xander and Anna, thank you guys for taking time out of Sunday at the con to sit down and do this, even though we sat for like 2 hours trying to figure out how we were going to do it. For Destroy the Cyborg, I'm Mike Rappin. Thank you for listening to our very special episode from C2E2 2015, and hopefully we will catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Read Comic Books podcast, a production of Destroy the Cyborg, produced by Mike Rappin, and produced and edited by Xander Riggs. This week's music was brought to you by Infinity Shred. If you'd like to keep up with the I Read Comic Books podcast, you can subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And while you're there, take a quick moment to rate us. If you have any questions, or would like us to talk about something on the podcast, you can email the show at cyborg@destroythecyb.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at @destroythecyb and on Tumblr at destroythecyborg.tumblr.com. And again, thank you for listening.
I can never do this. This is the worst part of the whole podcast.
Welcome to the... Hello. And you have to start it out like a business phone call.
Hello, this is the I Read Comic Books podcast. We are here today to talk about comic books, and we are also here to talk about the comic book convention known as the Chicago Comic Book C2E2.
That's it. And that's the podcast open.
You're like, I've made it official now.
Yeah, okay.